You're listening to a podcast from 702.
All right, let's find out what's happening on the rest of the continent. Crystal, a good morning to you. Happy Friday. Listen, maybe some good news, right? Al-Bashir in Sudan reopens the border with Eritrea, after a year?
Yes, good morning, Bongani, and happy Friday to you too. This obviously is a very crucial border, and we know, of course, the politics have changed in Eritrea. So Bashir went to the town and opened it because, of course, there was a state of emergency and he then closed that border area because of, he said, illegal weapon transactions. So now, of course, he officiated that opening, but, of course, used it as an opportunity to again basically poke fun at the protesters. For instance, he said that, you know, there won't be change in the country through WhatsApp or Facebook or social media, but rather through the ballot. Of course, this week he's been trying to deflect what's happening in the country by, for instance, announcing a peace deal with Darfur and now, for instance, reopening that border area. But that hasn't stopped the protests. We see the Sudan Professional Association again calling for fresh protests across the country. And Bashir, of course, is defined. In fact, late last night, the army chief and the army official, senior ones, sent out a statement that they will not allow the state to collapse, which, of course, means that they will support Bashir no matter what. On the economic front, we see several international airlines, including African ones, have stopped taking bookings for tickets for Sudan because of the cash crunch in the country, and they are these airlines are saying they're suffering and it's just not worth that they sell these travel tickets. Of course, here in South Africa, Bongani, 702 listeners that are part of the Sudan Solidarity Group have also made contact, and they've been trying to mobilize support not only in South Africa but across the continent in terms of highlighting what is happening, how the cost of living has been skyrocketing, and the basic survival of people, people are really struggling.
Now, here's what I've been looking forward to hearing an explanation about, I suppose, Crystal. The survey that says Nigerians are twice as likely as the global average to use drugs.
Yes, that was quite surprising. And in fact, the Nigerian Health Ministry said that the results are in fact quite shocking and alarming. So we see 1 in 7 Nigerians are using drugs, which is more than twice the global average. And that's according to the country's first major national drug use survey. It was conducted by the Nigerian government, the European Union, and of course the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, which their job is to monitor what's happening all over the world around drug usage. Now we see the global average for Ghana is about 5.6, but in Nigeria it's 14.4%, which translates into 14.3 million people aged between 15 and 64. So, of course, the health ministry is saying urgent action is needed, and they are now working on a new drug control master plan to tackle the problem. So we're looking at, for instance, about 5 million people use painkillers and cough syrups for non-medical purposes. And Nigeria has also banned the use of codeine-based cough syrups because of the abuse of it. And basically, people are simply addicted to these cough syrups. Ironically, many of the drug users are in the northeast of Nigeria, which is, of course, have also borne the brunt of that Boko Haram attacks. And, of course, in Lagos, the capital, drug use is a major issue, and the drug of choice is cannabis, like elsewhere in the world, Bongani.
All right, we'll leave it there with this morning's Africa Report, some worrying developments, at least worrying new information or data coming out of Nigeria.